Open up first to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to begin today taking a look at some things related to fasting that are really more along the lines of the practical end of fasting. A lot of people have gone into fasts and come out of fasts in ways that was very unwise, and they have created for themselves some very desperate situations. And we're going to be taking a look, as I said, at a lot of practical aspects of fasting, you know, types of fasts, how to prepare for one and so forth. And I'll just admit, at times, some of this may not seem very theologically deep, but in one way of looking at it, it is. Because if there's an expectation that we fast, if we don't do it right, we could really mess ourselves up. There are some people who literally have almost died who went on stupid fasts and just messed themselves up. And so we're going to avoid that. In Matthew chapter 6, if you look at verse 16, moreover, when you fast. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up in school, the word when seemed to imply sooner or later it will. When does not seem to be an option. When seems to be an assumption. You're going to fast. Now, when you do it, this is how you'll do. Turn over to Matthew chapter 9. Verse 15 says, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. So again, this is a very assumptive statement. It's not a command, but it's an assumption. From God's perspective, you won't sit and think about, well, golly gee, do I fast or do I not fast? To eat or not to eat, that is the question. No, there's an assumption here that you'll just do it, that this will be a part of your lifestyle. And it's interesting how that I've heard people share things, and I've actually read things like this, how that there seems to be an emphasis on find out if God wants you to fast. Get before the Lord and find out if He wants you to fast. If He wants you to fast, then you should fast. But if you don't seek a leading from the Lord to fast, well, then you don't have to. Now, that sounds really good, doesn't it? Except for the fact we've already seen in Scripture when you fast and then shall they fast. So the implication in Scripture is we've already received a word from the Lord that we should fast. And if you're asking God, well, Father, should I fast? And you don't feel like you're getting any answer, it's because He figures He's already given you the answer. When you fast, and then shall you fast. And so God's already spoken to us in His Word, and He's told us, in essence, that we're supposed to fast. The other side of that, where the folks say, well, just pray about it and see if God wants you to fast, there's really not any Scripture to substantiate that. I can't find where God has instructed people, you pray and ask me if I want you to fast. Likewise, I can't see anything in Scripture that says, you pray and ask me if I want you to pray. Or you pray and ask me if I want you to get in my Word. Or you pray and ask me if I want you to worship. Those are all assumptions that we make. And nobody seems to question that. But then all of a sudden when it comes to the fasting, we start saying, well, you know, you just pray and you find out if God wants you to fast. Well, I don't have to do a whole lot of praying. I see in Scripture God wants me to. But here's what's interesting. In Scripture, we don't find any clear-cut directions as to how long we should fast. Now, there are examples of fasts in Scripture. But as far as God saying, You're supposed to fast X number of days. This is the pattern. You're supposed to fast, so on and so forth. We don't see that in Scripture. There's been a common assumption among some people that because Jesus fasted for 40 days, everybody's supposed to fast for 40 days or it does you no good. That's not true. There are different types of fasts, different ways to fast. We're going to look at some of these. Turn over to Isaiah 58. In Isaiah 58, look at verse 8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. Now let's examine this, the part of this verse where it says, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. The word health, it comes from a Hebrew word that is arucha. And it means healing, health, restoring to soundness. It's not a spiritual thing at all. That, where it says your health, that has nothing to do with your spiritual health. This is talking physical here. The phrase spring forth comes from a Hebrew word, samach, and it means to bear, as though, not bear as in carry, but bear, like a woman bears a child, to bear, to bring forth, and to bud as a flower or a tree. And we'll come back to that in just a moment. And the word speedily comes from the Hebrew word mehera. Mehera. And it means hastily, quickly, and soon. Now, this phrase, your health shall spring forth speedily, is right in there with the fasting. And it is a byproduct or one of the results that we have as fasting. Now, he says in here that your health, your physical health, see, we've already dealt with all the spiritual stuff in that, and these verses here, the spiritual benefits and so forth, and he's talking specifically, physically here about this. And he's saying your physical health is going to spring forth, and this word spring forth, part of it means to bud. Or to bear. Now, think in terms, I use the example when it came to bear of a woman who bears a child. How many of you know that in order for a woman to bear a child, or to birth a child, or to bring forth a child, she first has to have the child in her? That wasn't a trick question. Some of you just kind of look like... And the word bud, how many of you know that a tree or a flower cannot bud unless it first has the blooms in it? All right? In other words, now listen to this. God is telling us your health already exists in your body. Fasting is going to help your health that is in you to bud forth out of you. Now let's think about that for a moment. This is God looking at us. And he's saying, look, you may be going through a lot of physical struggles. You may have this problem. You may be facing that sickness. It may be this thing. It may be one thing right after the other. But you know, the way I look at it as God, your health is already in you. It's up to you to bring forth what is in you out of you. How many of you know that, generally speaking, and this isn't, you know, specifically true in every situation, but generally speaking, every cell in your body is replaced every 7 years. That means what you are today is not what you were 7 years ago. In fact, in smokers, if a smoker stops, their lungs have a built-in program to regenerate themselves within about 7+ years. That means you could take somebody who smoked like 20 years ago after smoking for 35 years and you'd look at their lungs you're probably not going to be able to tell that they ever smoked. God has designed your body to be like this. So if, now think, if every cell in the body is completely regenerated, now I'm sure some scientist or biologist or whatever would come along and probably be able to refute that every single cell some kind of scientific way. But everything I've read implies that your body regenerates itself roughly every 7 years. That being true, it means that the new cells are being corrupted somehow to continue sicknesses and diseases. Now, God is saying in His Word, He's looking at us, and remember this is written prophetically to the body of Christ. He's looking at us and He's saying, your health is already in you. It exists. It is resident on the inside of you. Just like a baby is resident inside of a pregnant woman, your health is already in you. You know when we talk about by His stripes we were healed? A lot of people struggle with that because all we see is sickness or pain or whatever in our bodies. Well, which is more true, God's Word or our bodies? Which is going to pass away, God's Word or our bodies? So which would seem to have more power, God's Word or our bodies? Which do we tend to exalt? God's Word or our bodies? Which do we talk about the most? God's Word or the sickness, affliction, and problem in our body? Are you catching on? From God's perspective, the health is already in us. It's already there. It's not a question of, well, I just wish my body was in better shape. God said, well, it's in, the health is there. You just need to do what's necessary to cause that health to bud, to bloom, to blossom, to bear fruit. Because it's already there. And He's telling us right in this passage that fasting is a key to this. Now, before we go into a whole lot of other things, I have heard numerous testimonies from Christians who did different types of fasting, and they saw healing manifest in their bodies of different things. See, we can talk about divine healing, but if you talk about divine healing but continue to consume alcohol, then I don't think I would complain to God about a messed up liver. You can talk about divine healing, but if you still put a pinch between your cheek and gum, don't complain to the preacher when they have to cut out part of your cheek because of cancer. So we can talk about these things. You know, this may sound like a weird statement, but divine healing really is not that big of a deal. Because if you just use wisdom with your body, you're probably not going to need a whole lot of divine healing. And a lot of things that people come up for prayer about, as far as physical healing is concerned, I can sense in my spirit they really don't want the truth. All they want is a relief from the discomfort so they can continue living the way they're living. And they don't want to hear somebody say, well, excuse me, but, you know, there's a possibility that you might not be having this problem if you lost some weight. That's not the problem. Listen, I used to work for a weight management company, and I have counseled with hundreds of people struggling with weight problems. I've taught classes that dealt with weight problems. And you won't... It's unbelievable the kinds of excuses that people give for their weight. Unreal. Had a lady one time, just constantly ate all kinds of stuff. She said, well, I just can't help it. I said, well, just don't buy it. If it's not in the house, you won't eat it. She said, but I can't. I mean, I have to buy it. I said, well, why do you have to buy it? Well, it's my son. I mean, she's talking potato chips, cookies, you know, that kind of stuff. Well, my son, your son, well, he's a football player. I mean, he eats a lot, and he wants that stuff. Now, she's saying this in the class in front of everybody. And I said, okay, let me make sure I understand here. Your son's a football player, and he wants to eat all this stuff. So you go and buy it for him. Oh, yeah, he has to have it. Oh, how old is your son? 14. So Mr. 14-year-old becomes the excuse for your weight problem. You're blaming him and setting him up for a problem in the future, in the process. A lot of folks would try to use the, well, it's just my metabolism. I have a thyroid problem, and I can't lose weight. Well, that's an interesting statement, because studies have proven that less than 0.5% of the population in the United States has some sort of genetic problem that actually prohibits the loss of weight. For most people, it's just a matter of don't want to, don't care, don't believe it's a problem, I'll deal with it when something bad happens, which is usually too late, or they just don't want to make whatever adjustments are necessary to lose the weight. And so when you talk about divine healing, a lot of people that I've ministered to, they want God to do something for them, but they don't want to stop doing what caused the problem in the first place. When you fast, now listen to this, when you fast, especially on a longer fast, you are going to have no choice but to make these adjustments. Because on a longer fast, going into it and coming out of it, you cannot eat in a way that is conducive to weight increase and still have a successful fast. You can't. It's impossible. And so fasting, especially longer fasting, has built into it preventative measures as far as health problems are concerned. And I've heard so many testimonies of Christians who have gone on fasts, and not only did they lose weight, and by the way, a lot of folks say, I don't want to fast because if I fast, I'll gain weight when I come off of it. Well, if you come off of it wrong, you will. Guaranteed. You'll blow up like a balloon. In fact, you'll probably end up weighing more than what you did before you went on the fast. But there are ways to get around that. Good ways, scientific, medical, etc. ways, and we're going to go over those things too. See, fasting is not just a matter of stopping eating. Well, Brother Martin, I thought that's what they did in the Bible. Well, in a certain aspect, yes, it is, and we're going to talk about that. But I've heard, in fact, there's already been, it's been shared with me here in this church that there has been a change physically, that a problem that had been surfacing is no more already. And I haven't even gotten to teach on this. So, God is telling us right here in Isaiah, there's health already there. Fasting helps us to see the manifestation of health. There are stories. There was a doctor, I don't have his name here. There was a doctor who went on a long, in fact, I think he went on 2 40-day fasts. Went on a 40-day fast, came off of it just long enough to regroup, and then went on another 40-day fast. And at the end of the second one, I believe it was. Well, no, actually, in the process of the second one, his hair that had been solid gray returned to black. And he wasn't using dye. The reason for that is because toxins that build up in your body choke off the oxygen flow to the hair follicles. And when that happens, the hair begins to turn colors, like gray. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody who fasts, you're going to see your color come back, all right? But it's possible. Vision. Your vision can actually, it's possible. that in some people who have a fasting lifestyle, especially longer fast, it is possible that your eyes can regenerate to the point you will no longer need to wear corrective lenses. I mean, it's just incredible the benefits of fasting. What's interesting is that the body of Christ knows less about this than the world. Because there is so much information out there about fasting, but hardly any of it is by Christians, for Christians, and to Christians. Well, I personally believe that's changing. Not just because of this series, but because things are starting to pop up more about fasting. Now, I want you to think with me. Our culture here in this country is totally counterproductive to fasting. And I don't mean just from the fact that there are restaurants all over the place, and good restaurants. Think of this. In January, we have essentially New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. In February, we have Valentine's Day. In March, we have St. Patrick's Day. In March or April, we have Easter. In May, we have Mother's Day. In June, we have Father's Day. In July, we have Independence Day. August is basically an open month. We don't have any major holidays, but then September, we get hit twice. Labor Day and the pastor's birthday. September makes up for August. October is sweetest day. November is Thanksgiving. December is Christmas. And then the year starts over again. Throw in your birthdays, your anniversaries, your weddings, your graduations, and you have a constant feast year round. In fact, if you sit down and think about it for your life, you'll probably find out that roughly every 20 to 30 days, there is going to be an eating event which comes up. Now, if you are, if you don't have longer fasts planned, or if you're not fasting, you know, for longer periods, that's not that big of a deal. Every 20 to 30 days. But if your intention is to go on a longer fast, say 20, 30, 40 days, you can see just built into our culture, you're going to have some problems. Everybody wants to eat, to get together and eat. And it's not that that's wrong, because we see in the book of Acts how they got together. They broke bread and had fellowship with each other. And so even in the book of Acts, eating seemed to be a part of what the church did. But our culture here in this country, our culture is designed, not necessarily on purpose, but just the way it is. It presents a lot of challenges when it comes to fasting. Because let's face it, how many times have you thought, even before this series, have you thought of... Gee, you know, I think I'd like to go on a fast. I just kind of think maybe I should, or for whatever reason. And there always, it just seems like there's always something that comes up, doesn't it? Somebody you haven't heard from calls you and asks you to go out and eat. And nobody wants to be impolite, do they? I mean, after all, isn't there a verse in the Bible that says something about eat what is set before you? Yes, but let's keep that verse in the context wherein it was written. And so it seems like there's always something going on as far as eating is concerned. Now, let me put in this disclaimer, and this is extremely important, so I want everyone to listen closely to this. Before you go on a fast, check with your doctor. Do not be foolish with your fasting. If you have been diagnosed with like diabetes or heart problems or blood pressure problems, any condition, any diagnosis where the doctor has put you on medication, check with your doctor first before going on a fast. Do not be foolish. If you're on medication, do not take your medication and flush it down the toilet and say, glory to God, I'm going to fast and everything's going to be all right. Don't do that. Always, always use wisdom in this. Here's what's interesting, though. Some of the problems that folks have in their bodies, which may require constant medication, may go away after the fasting. Because again, your health springs forth speedily. And in the word speedily, I mean, that means quickly. It's not years and years and years kind of a thing, that your health will spring forth speedily. So always check with your doctor. Always talk to your doctor about fasting. And if you're on medication, check with your doctor about whether fasting is going to interfere with your medication. Sometimes they tell you, take these pills with food. And if you have a condition that the doctor says requires this medication and you have to take it 3 times a day or whatever, find out what is the minimum amount of food I can eat and still take this medication. All right, so we're not about messing people's lives up. And you say, well, wouldn't that be a lack of faith, or won't that mess up my fast? No, it won't, and we'll get into that also. Because the purpose of your fasting is not just for the spiritual benefits, but it's also going to be for the spiritual or the physical benefits as well. God will honor what you do. And God knows that if there's a condition in your body that the doctors tell you to take certain medication, God will work with you on that. All right? God is not going to put you in danger in any of this. Now, another thing that I would suggest is if you want more information on fasting, there are a lot of websites out there. Just get on a search engine, type in fasting, and all kinds of stuff is going to pop up. Some of the stuff is really weird. I'm talking out there in left field weird. Some of it is directly related to religions and cults, and I do not suggest that you necessarily go on to those sites. There are other sites, though, that are extremely helpful when it comes to foods and this and that and the other. So anyway, you can get a lot of information on the Internet for that as well. Now, let's talk about the fastings themselves. You ever heard people say things like, well, I'm going on a fast. Really? What are you going to do? I'm going to fast TV for a week. You ever heard that? Yeah. Well, I'm going to fast this thing for a week, or I'm going to fast that thing for a week, or whatever. Now, that's not bad. You're going to reap benefits by turning off the television, all right? However, that is not a substitute for fasting of food. Now, in the scriptures, as we go through the Bible and examine fasting, what we find is fasting is associated with food. Think of the cultures. If fasting involved other things, you know, like chariot races or whatever, we'd have seen it in scripture. We fasted chariot races for 30 days. Well, those kind of things aren't in there. Yeah, you can benefit from fasting things, pleasures. I'm denying myself. However, if you're really going to enforce the positional truth of death upon the flesh, it's food. That's what it comes down to. And in the Old Testament, the word fast comes from the Hebrew word tsum, and it means to cover the mouth. To cover the mouth. So if you're going to fast television, you know, you'd have to cover your eyes. You know what I'm saying? Well, in the Old Testament, it meant to cover your mouth. In the New Testament, the Greek word is nesteio, and it means to abstain from eating. So it's pretty clear in Scripture what fasting's about. It has to do with you and no food. When you get ready to fast, especially if it's going to be a longer fast, but a fast of any length, pray and ask God for grace to help you. God makes His grace available to us for anything that we do. And if you go to Him and you pray about this, you know, Father, I'm going to fast. I'm asking you, please, to help me. Would you please extend grace, pour out your grace to me to help me in this area of fasting? Because I want to be successful in this, Father. I need to do it so that you can move through me in greater measure to touch the lives of other people. Ask Him for wisdom related to your fast. Father, help me not to do something stupid during my fast. Help me to do this in a way that's going to be not just spiritually beneficial, but also physically beneficial. Because if you do something really stupid that'll mess you up physically during a fast, it's going to interfere with your ability to hear God as He would want to minister to you during a fast. There is something that you could consider doing, and that is having a fasting partner. somebody that you know is going to check up on you. And that you're going to check up on them. Now, you don't have to do that, but it might not be a bad idea to have a fasting partner. Some folks have prayer partners and all that. Well, it might not be a bad idea for you to have a fasting partner, somebody that you know, you can be kind of accountable to, and that they will be accountable to you. Now, look over in Esther chapter 4. Esther is right before Job, back in the Old Testament. Esther chapter 4, and look at verse 16. Now, there are a lot of things going on at this time. Problems had arisen. We're not going to go into all of it. It's just that somebody was trying to kill all the Jews, and Esther happened to be a Jew. Well, in verse 16, Esther is telling Mordecai, "Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish." This 3-day fast was a fast where they did not eat and they did not drink anything. Now, there are two other occasions of fasting without food and water. One was Elijah and one was Moses. Go back and read about Moses going up the mountain to get, in essence, Moses spent almost 80 days without food or water. Now, as far as that had to be supernatural, okay? I mean, don't even come close to thinking about considering the possibilities that you might want to someday in the future do an 80-day fast. All right? I mean, shelve that one. Don't even think about it, because that is excessively dangerous. You could die if you tried something like that. And Elijah also, his was supernatural. As far as going without food and water, don't do it. Your body can go a long time without food, but if you shut off the water, you could die. The 3 days was not necessarily a problem here, but generally, most medical sources and all, you know, if you try to hit 4-5 days beyond that with no water, you could seal your own fate. You could cause your body to shut down. Your body needs water. Your brain can dehydrate. Your brain needs water. Every part of you, your skin, everything about you, your eyes, eyeballs need water. You need that fluid in you. So do not, unless God himself visits you, which I seriously doubt he will ever do, don't fast without fluids. It's extremely, extremely dangerous to do something like that. Look over in Daniel chapter 10. Take a look at a fast that Daniel went on. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 2, "In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled." So for 21 days, Daniel went without bread, he went without meat, and it says he didn't drink wine. It also says he didn't anoint himself. That means essentially he didn't take a bath. It's basic, that's what it means. Now, there is no such thing as a no-bath fast. If you go on such a fast, we will know. And we will strap you to the hood of one of our cars and take you down to the wishy-washy car wash. And we will hose you off and give you a wax job in the process. This type of fast, many people refer to it as a Daniel fast or a Daniel's fast, which is essentially, you don't eat bread, you don't eat meat, all you eat are vegetables and fruit, and drink water. Now look over in Matthew chapter 4. I mean, this one we're very familiar with. Verse 1, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward hungry. And it tells us in other places that he ate no food. Well, for 40 days, unless this was a supernatural act of God, which I can find no scripture to substantiate, he didn't eat, but he did have water. Whether he carried the water with him or whether he walked in the wilderness along a stream, I don't know. But there was water involved because the body is not designed to go without water. You just can't do that. So roughly what we have here in Scripture are examples of three different kinds of fasts. Now, there are other types of fasting. You can go back and look up the word fast, fasting, fastings, fasted in Scripture. Not every time you find the word fast is it talking about going without food. Sometimes the word fast, it means to tie something up. All right, so it's all relative to the context. But in essence, you can go back and look up that word and see how it is used in different places in Scripture and what it refers to. But nevertheless, we still have three examples. The three-day fast, no food, no water, there in Esther, what we would call the Daniel's fast in Daniel, and then in Matthew, Jesus having that 40-day fast. Now, when it comes to fasting, generally, most medical experts seem to agree, and nutritionists, that the best way to fast is water only. No food, just water only. And as far as the water is concerned, they usually are adamantly opposed to tap water of any kind in any city, anywhere in this country. They will tell you to use distilled water or filtered water. Now, as far as the water itself, well, where do you get water like that? Well, you can buy filters that hook up to your faucet in the kitchen. See, the city water here in Dayton really is not that bad, but there's still a lot of chemicals in it. Well, you can buy filters to hook up to your faucet and run the water through that and filter some of that out. You can buy a thing at home. It's like a little pitcher with a thing that fits on top, and we just put the water in that. It drains through a filter into the pitcher. Brita makes that. You can buy Pure. I'm not endorsing. I'm just giving you things you can shop for. And you can also go to the stores. Most grocery stores will have a dispenser, a water dispenser. It might be near the coffee or the soft drinks, where you can take in a gallon jug and hold it under there and fill it up with filtered water. And it's cheap, really, really cheap. If you don't have a gallon jug, they usually have gallon jugs right next to it for about 50 cents. So you buy a jug for 50 cents, fill it up for about 50 cents. You can fill as many as you want, long as you can carry it out the store, they don't mind. Or you can contact different companies that actually deliver water, like we do here at the church. We have we use Aqua Falls here at the church, and we have the big jugs that are delivered in the dispenser and so forth. But that's highly recommended when it comes to fasting, because you're going to have good, filtered, clean water. And some even emphasize that you should use distilled water as far as the fast is concerned. And there are other ways to fast other, though, than just 40 days. And I'll give you examples of how some people fast. Some people fast from sunup to sundown. In the summer months, that presents more of a challenge. So they look forward to winter and the time change. Other people will fast one or two meals per day, every day or every other day or whatever it would be. Then there's also series fasting, where you fast so many days on and then eat so many days. It could be you eat one day, you fast one day, you eat one day, you fast one day. Or maybe you eat 3 days and fast 2 days, or whatever it would be. That you can create your own system as far as that is concerned, but that's referred to as series fasting. And most Christians who have written or taught about fasting say that the longer fast will give you the better results, but no matter how much you fast, you will get results. There are a lot of people, I personally have not yet gone on a 40-day fast. But no matter how long you fast, you will get results. It's just like if you spend 10 minutes praying in the Spirit, you're going to get 10 minutes worth of value and benefit from that. If you spend 8 hours praying in tongues, you're going to get 8 hours worth of benefit. If you fast one day, you get benefit from that. If you fast every other day, you get benefit from that. So don't feel condemned because you have not yet gone on a longer fast. Some people have jobs to where going on a 40-day fast could almost be disastrous. You know, jobs that are physically demanding and so forth. And so you really should give thought and consideration and prayer to something like that, because if you have a highly physically demanding job, you may not want to go on a long fast. But that's something that you're going to have to work out for yourself. As far as longer fasts are concerned, you know, generally, you don't have to do a whole lot of preparation for a short fast. Physical preparation. Like if you're just going to fast the next, you know, tomorrow, I'm fasting tomorrow. Well, generally, there's not a whole lot you have to do in preparation for that. But longer fasts do require some physical dietary preparation. Generally, it seems like there are four phases of a longer fast. The first phase is a craving for food that can last up to 2 days. The second phase would be a feeling of weakness or faintness that can last up to 3 days. Now, again, these can vary depending upon the individual. The third phase would be a feeling of strength and little, if any, desire for food. It's like all of a sudden you're not hungry and you don't have the weak feelings anymore. It's like, wow, you know, it's like I'm okay. I almost feel like I've eaten. The fourth phase is the return of hunger. When the hunger returns on a longer fast, your body is telling you, you better eat and you better eat now. Which means you immediately need to begin coming off the fast in a wise manner, which, again, we're going to go over. Now, when the hunger returns after a longer fast, it could be 21 days, it could be 30 days, it could be the 40 days. When the hunger returns, it's your body telling you, I've stopped burning fat and now I'm turning on you. It means it's starting to break down valuable tissue. It's starting to break down muscle beyond what it should. It's starting to hurt you. In other words, when the hunger returns on a longer fast, your body is telling you, now you have begun to die. You better come off the fast, because if you continue, you will. You will die. You'll come off the fast permanently. So when the hunger returns on a longer fast, that is a signal to your body, it's time to quit. If you don't reach that fourth phase, and I've heard stories of this, if when you hit day number 40, the feelings of hunger have not returned, break the fast anyway. Come off of it. Even though you may feel, I can go just another few days, I can keep going on, that is not wise. Generally, most nutritionists and medical experts say 40 days should be the limit for anybody. What's interesting is that this comes from secular sources, not scripture. And I find it interesting, yeah, that Jesus hit the 40 days and came off his fast. It says the angels came and ministered unto him. Short fasting, series fasts, and so forth, they usually don't require a lot of dietary preparation, but the longer fast should definitely have dietary preparation. And there is a generally held opinion that if you have never done much fasting, it is not wise to jump right into a 40-day fast in this country. You say, well, what's the country got to do with it? Because of the way we eat. If you've never done much fasting, it's not wise to immediately go into a 40-day fast. It could create major problems for your body. Emotionally, you'll be unprepared for what's coming. And physically, the dietary habits in this country have, if you've eaten like most other people eat, you've already messed yourself up to the point. Your body will go bonkers if you try to stick it on 40 days with nothing but water. Generally, what you find in this country, our dietary habits, for most people, have created situations with our blood sugar that we're messed up and we don't know it. It's because of the way that we eat, the way that sugar is added to foods, and all of the different ways that we eat, the way that high-fat content foods mess up your blood sugar content and all this other. Everything's so imbalanced, most of us don't even know it. If you immediately change that, your body is going to go into a rebellion. And you could end up in a hospital. And I've heard stories of this, where people, they meant well, but because they didn't do it wisely, they ended up in the hospital. Now, please, none of this is meant to scare. We're passing on some wisdom here. Because some folks have gone into fasting, and they encountered some problems, and they said, well, that's the stupidest stuff. Anybody in the right mind is not going to fast, because all you have are problems. No, you don't. Scripture says your health will spring forth speedily. So there's got to be something at work here in your body. Now, when you fast, when you are going into a fast, if you've never done much fasting before, it is wise to go on shorter fasts to begin conditioning your body for a longer fast. And it could take you, if you've never done much fasting, it could take 2 or 3 months for you to get yourself into a position of being ready to go on to a longer fast. But I cannot stress the importance of using wisdom in something like this. With your blood sugar, this can be a major issue for some people, and you won't know it until you change your dietary habits. You won't realize you've messed yourself up so much with all the burgers and the fries and the chips and the desserts and et cetera and so on it goes. I know for myself that I have encountered problems in that area. And at times it's gotten so bad that I'm doing this. And I know it's the blood sugar. And I don't even want to drive. At times it's gotten so bad that I can read something. I can read my Bible. I can read the words. I can read them out loud to you. But something keeps me from comprehending what I'm reading. I can read it to you, but I cannot tell you what I've just read. I can read it and look up at you and repeat what I just said, but I can't explain it to you. There's something, and it's the blood sugar. Because when I go and I'll hit some fruit juices, it clears up. Sometimes it's gotten so bad that I have had to eat something because I can tell my body is about ready to fall down. And I get a little something to eat and I'll be okay. It's not that I have a problem. Well, let me rephrase that. I have created a situation in my body because of dietary habits. And I'm not alone in this. And so many times what I do with my fasting, I will fast, and I'm not alone in this. There are a lot of folks that do it this way because of what I've just described. I will incorporate fruit juice and V8 and water in my fast. Now, I don't mean I mix them all together. That sounds kind of gross. I may drink like a little glass of V8 or just like a generic V8. Then later on, I may drink a glass of fruit juice. Try to stay away from high acidic fruit juices. When you're fasting, please don't drink orange juice. You can end up with a lot of cramps and a lot of pain, and that is not fun. And so, and then also the water, different kinds of fruit juice. Now, there's a really neat product out on the market now. It's produced by V8. You can also buy the Kroger brand that I'm sure other companies probably have a similar generic type brand. It's a combination of certain fruit juices and certain vegetable juices. Carrot juice and this juice and then some fruit juice and so forth. And it's pretty good stuff. And it's not real heavy. It's light. Another something else that you might consider would be mineral drinks. And these can be purchased many times at health food stores. Sometimes you can find them in the grocery store. Now, why is that important? Again, it's because of our dietary habits in this country. Our foods are so lousy. And even the supplements that you take off the shelf really aren't that adequate. There are mineral drinks that are on the market now that are excellent. I've had some. And I know one person, many of you know Tim Stemple. He was sharing with me how he was on a fast one time, was having these terrible abdominal pains. And he said, every day, you know, I'm pressing through this pain. It was hard. Well, they were on a trip, and they stopped at a gas station. He walks into the gas station, and they had the cooler with all these drinks, and there was something there called Body Toddy. And it was a mineral drink. He said, so I got that. I opened it, I drank it, and he said, literally, as it was going down my throat, all the discomfort was leaving. By the time it hit my stomach, it was all gone. He said, I had starved my body of minerals. And there are two minerals that will really cause your problems. Potassium, magnesium. If your body goes down the hill on those, you're going to have some problems. I'm talking hospitalization problems. That's why it would not be a bad idea to include mineral drinks in your... Now, the tablets, if you take tablets, mineral or vitamin supplement tablets during a fast, and those haven't been prepared properly by the manufacturer, you're going to have problems. It's going to irritate your stomach. That's why the fluid drinks are better. See, but Brother Martin, if I'm supposed to fast, you're talking about all this other stuff. People in the Bible didn't eat the way we do. They didn't face the same kinds of problems going into a fast that our culture faces because of the way that we've eaten. They didn't have pizza. They didn't have Captain D's. You know, they didn't have all these things that are out there. That's why it can be different for us going into a fast than what they did in the Bible, because they weren't facing some of the same problems that we are. And because of the way that we've treated our bodies, we have created situations. We've trained our body to respond. I'll give you an example. You ever had a craving for chocolate? This is especially true for women. Here's why. If a woman has had, if you have, as a woman, eaten lots of chocolate, and you've noticed that when you go on your monthly cycle, you suddenly have a craving for chocolate, that's because on your cycle, your body is flushing out a lot of nutrients that are necessary. Chocolate contains high concentrates of some of those things that you're flushing out. Your body has been trained to recognize when you eat chocolate, that stuff is deposited into me. Therefore, since I suddenly sense a depletion in these things, I'm going to tell you, go visit Mr. Hershey. That's where a craving like that comes from. Of course, now, not always. Sometimes you crave it just because you want it. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's just go ahead and close off before we get into this next part. Fasting, preparation, physical preparation. We'll just leave it with this thought. Physical preparations with short fastings before going into a longer fast, if you've never done much fasting before, is extremely, extremely important. Now, we're going to go into, as we continue in this, we will go into how to prepare, what to do on shorter fasts to prepare for a longer fast. Medically documented things that are out there to help us. And also to help us as far as our shorter fasts are concerned, because some people have a lot of struggle going on a shorter fast just because their body, you know, does some weird things. So we'll go into how to help in some of these shorter fasts, because if we can deal with the things on the shorter fast, eventually we can get to the point of doing longer fasts, whatever longer fast would mean for each person. So go ahead and stand up.